Representatives from more than 100 countries will meet in Paris today. It's the latest attempt to decide what to do about the violence in Syria. Two of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's most important allies, though, Russia and China, have refused to attend that meeting. So his international allies are sticking by him, but not so of all the members of his inner circle. The French foreign minister says Manaf Talas, a former general of the elite Syrian Republican Guard, who was responsible for putting down the uprising in the capital of Damascus, is now en route to France after defecting. Opposition leaders describe it as a sign that Assad's regime is losing its grip on power. Talas's defection comes in the midst of escalating violence against the Syrian rebels.
The escalation of violence, allow me to say, to an unprecedented level, obstructed our ability to observe, to verify, to report, as well as to assist in local dialogue.
That's General Robert Mood, who's the head of the UN mission in Syria. Joining us now, Joshua Landis. He's director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. And Josh, tell us about Manaf Talas. He's being described as a close friend to President Assad. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. They've come up in the same generation. They are all sons of former regime leaders. Manaf's father, Mustafa Talas, was defense minister from the early 70s right to 2004. He was one of the right-hand men of the father, and his son has been very close to Bashar from the beginning. He's a military guy. Unlike Bashar, he's been in the military from the beginning, so he's got a lot of clout there. He's probably the most senior Sunni military guy of this generation, and close to the president. He's in a Republican Guard, which is the elite group, largely Alawite, but not entirely, that protects Damascus and the president.
To what extent has he been advising the president? I mean, we haven't really gotten a lot of leaks coming out of Damascus in who's saying what, whether or not there are internal fractures among Assad and his supporters. Can we assume that Manaf Talas has been part of the opposition to the opposition throughout the entire thing? Has he been part of this whole violence?
Look, Manaf Talas, the word, and we have to take all of this with caution, is that Manaf Talas was given the file, as they say in Syria, was given the job of trying to quiet down the incipient revolution in the suburbs of Damascus, in places like Douma, which have seen the main brunt of this uprising in the Damascus outskirts. And he went to opposition people. He talked with them. He said, let's both pull back. He was willing to compromise and dialogue with the opposition. When he brought this package back to the other leader, military leaders, they said, no way, we're not doing this. This is not the way we're going to solve this problem, by playing patty cake with these guys. And they came down with a ton of force and decided they had to crush this opposition. That, of course, led to this escalating military, fiasco in Syria. Now, whether this more gentle, kinder approach would have worked is anybody's guess. But the point is that it seems that he, as a Sunni inside this regime with connections to some of the opposition, not connections, but able to talk to them, was willing to compromise. And that option was taken off the table. And he has been under, many people believe he's been under sort of quasi-house arrest for the last several months.
What are we to make of this then? I mean, is this enough of a high-level defection that it would perhaps demoralize President Assad, that it would cause other defections? We saw in Libya an escalating series of defections, and people said, well, that was the beginning of the end for Gaddafi's regime. Can we say the same here?
Yes and no. We can say the same in the sense that this is very demoralizing for everybody, and particularly all Sunnis in the military. This struggle in Syria has turned into a classic ethnic struggle or confessional religious struggle, as we've seen in Lebanon and Iraq, amongst the Palestinians and Jews, and in Israel, Palestine. This is turning into a classic wrangle between Alawites, this Shiite offshoot, and Sunni Syrians. Most rebels are Sunni Syrians. The regime in Syria has been made up of these alliances, and the Alawites have held power in part because they've made these important alliances to every other group in Syrian society. Those alliances are in the process of falling apart. And if the opposition wants to win, they've got to drive a wedge down the middle of this regime, splitting Sunnis from Alawites. So if you're an Alawite sitting at the top of this regime and you're saying, oh, my God, here is one of the most senior military guys close to the president, a friend who is jumping ship. Everybody else has got to be looking for the doors and thinking, when can I jump? How do I get out? This guy obviously created a package for himself, and we believe he went with a number of other people to Turkey. His wife is out of the country. His father, his brother is out of the country. They've all managed to do this because they're very, very high. It's going to be much more difficult for people with less clout to get out with their family and to be safe.
Joshua Landis, there are already people pointing to Malaaf Talas as a possible leader after all of the violence is done. This is, of course, assuming that President Bashar al-Assad will eventually be out of office one way or the other. Could you see him taking a leadership role in post-uprising Syria?
You know, a lot of people inside the regime look to somebody like Manaf, and particularly Americans in the beginning of this, American policymakers were thinking, who are the adults? Who are the people that can take this regime to a soft landing and not have this full-scale revolution where the state is ripped down, you get a situation of complete chaos, as we saw in Iraq once the regime came crumbling down. The trouble with that scenario, and somebody like Manaf Talas would have been a good candidate, and people inside Syria thought of him as someone who could represent Sunnis and perhaps buy off the opposition, the more radical opposition people, and come to some kind of soft landing for the regime. Very unlikely today. This revolution is under full steam. People are angry, and they don't want anything to do with the old regime. I look at a discussion on my own website, Syria Comment, and many of the opposition people are saying, this guy is a complete criminal. He has been part of this regime for, you know, decades, he and his family. He should go to court. He should be tried. I don't think that he's going to be part of the solution in the long run.
Joshua Landis is director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. As always, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.